First, I want to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are we ready? Are we ready for the next century? Are we ready for the next 70 years? Are we ready for the next quarter century or decade? Are we ready for the next 5 years? Are we ready for next year? Are you ready for next month? Are you ready for the next 10 minutes? I hear the optimist among us saying, yes, we're ready, bring it on, this is great. And some of the pessimists maybe haven't spoken up yet, and you're saying, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. In your lives in the next 10 minutes, the next month, the next year, the next 10 years, the next century, there are big changes coming. So let me ask you this question. In the next 5 years, what is going to be the predominant driver of the changes that you experience? Is it going to be education? Well, no, most of those have left the room, right? But for some, Sean, Andrew, Chelsea, others here with us, Alex, education is going to be the driver, right? What about your career? Is that going to be the major driver of the changes that you experience, both going into or coming out of? What about your health? Is your health going to be the big driver of the next 5 years of the changes, the choices? Relationships, are they going to be the driver? What is the thing that's on your mind the most about changes that are coming positively or negatively that you're either apprehensive of or in anticipation of? Because they're coming. On this day, on our 70th anniversary, I'll bring some clarity to that, but today's the day in which we remember the past and we celebrate it. We celebrate the present and what's happening here today. And we ask God to prepare us for what's coming next. So let me just give you a little summary. 98 years ago, in 3 weeks, Calvary Baptist Mission was established in this area. 70 years and 8 months and 2 weeks ago, 96 members formed East Toronto Baptist Fellowship. When they gathered together, it was Reverend H.E. Wintemute. That was their pastor. Yeah. That pastor probably had a better ability over the English language than I do. But Mr. Wintemute was their pastor, and Miss Rose Harrison was their organist, their pianist. Who's with us today? Rose Madden. She was there in the beginning. 69 years and 11 months ago, 120 members voted to organize a regular Baptist church called Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church. Trustees at that time began to also determine what land they would purchase, and they adopted a constitution. 69 years and 11 months ago, 120 members joined to do that, and 68 years, 3 weeks ago, a cornerstone was laid on a building that continues to serve God today in that community. In fact, it was 68 years ago when they dedicated that building. 16 years ago, that community of people, of which there's people here today, followed God here and began to worship here 16 years, 6 months, and 20 days ago. Of course, all throughout those years, over 98 years, there's been many, many more milestones. I could have you share the milestones that have happened. But let me ask you this question. Of those years, how many of you have been in participation here at Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the center? There's a richness to that. But let me go further. How many years, how many months, how many days has it been since Jesus Christ called you and said, hey, let's adventure together. Why don't you give me your life and I'll give you life back, but more abundant? How long has it been? You can think about that and you can say, wow, God has been faithful to me. In fact, I encourage you to do that. Some of the dynamics that you're facing in life, I encourage you, and at the end of our conversation today, I have a summary of our testimonies that I want to give to all of you, a compilation of our testimonies, because it's brilliant when you read those stories, how faithful God has been to us all throughout those years. Today, there are many words to say, but not mine. There's many words for you to exchange with each other over dinner, over lunch today, or perhaps as you come and go, words to share with each other. So I'm going to do something unorthodox, unconventional. Those of you that don't like this can talk to me afterwards about this. I'm going to do something that is out of the ordinary for a pastor. I'm going to read Christ's words directly to you, and then we're going to pray. Because Jesus' words in Revelation 3 speak to us in ways that I can't summarize. They speak to us in ways that he intended for you to hear, and I to hear directly. If you have your Bibles with you and you want to open it to Revelation 3, I'm going to read this. If you have a red letter version of your Bible, you will see that it's all red letters. This is Jesus talking to his church. But let me summarize it first for perhaps those of you that haven't been with us for the last couple weeks. We have been looking at Revelation 2 and 3. Revelation 2 and 3 is when John is exiled in Patmos, the island of Patmos. The island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. He's exiled there. It's fascinating what God is doing. Because John is exiled to this island in Patmos, and Jesus then says, hey, John, I've got a vision for you. I want you to dictate the first part of it to the churches that I love, and then I want you to share the vision of what you see after that, because it's about your future and about the future of every human being on the planet, dead or alive. That's what Revelation is, still to come for us. And the first chapters, think about how much Christ loved you. The first part of it is for you, the churches. He speaks directly to seven churches, which as we summarize, that's all Christ needs. Seven churches covers every person, every Christian, every church, all throughout history. So he speaks and he has spoken to the first five churches. So let me just summarize it this way. In the first five churches, as Jesus has dictated to John and shared with him truth that he wants for these churches, he's basically said this: repent of your immorality and your idolatry, and your lethargy. And then he said, also through some of the churches, be faithful, persevere through the trials of your life, and be faithful to me. And he's also said in these churches, have faith, love each other, serve each other, be in community with each other. I'll let you take a look at those at your own leisure or go to our website where's the previous messages when we summarize these churches. I want to read the last two churches. The last two churches will also be provided on the screen behind me. These are Christ's words to you. I'm going to read them slowly so that we grasp the meaning of what he's saying. This is what Jesus Christ says to you and I. Till the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you've kept my word and not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take away your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus speaks to us. After I'm finished, I'm going to allow you an opportunity also to pray. Nick's going to play some music for us when I do that. Opportunity for you to respond back to what Jesus Christ is saying to you in thanksgiving, in appreciation, in love, praying some things that are on the bulletin if you'd like. But let me summarize Philadelphia. Jesus speaks to the church in Philadelphia to you and I and says, endure patiently. I've given you that ability to do so. Faithfully, through weakness, even through trial, be faithful to me. Let's continue to the church of Laodicea. Jesus says to John and asks him to dictate this to the church. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of all God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched and pitiful, poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. White clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Scott was sharing with me something this morning that he saw this week, license plate on a Porsche that said, never enough. Seems to apply here, doesn't it? To the church in Laodicea, Jesus says, realize you're poor. Be earnest. Repent of your self-seeking ways and seek God's richness. Just after Jesus speaks to the churches, a wonderful, blessed thing for him to speak first to us and say, this is how much I love you. I want to affirm you. I want to strengthen you, and yes, I want to correct you. And if you have your Bibles with you, through chapters 4, 5, and 6, and 7, the vision is given. And we don't see many red letters throughout this because Jesus is not speaking. He's sharing the image to John. But chapter 16 has some interesting words of Christ. He says, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he or she who stays awake and keeps their clothes with them so that they may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. What's he talking about? Righteousness. He's talking about being in connection and relationship with Christ so that his righteousness is covering you because you don't know when he's coming. It could be in 10 minutes. But continuing through that, right to the second last chapters where we see red letters again. And this is the brilliance of it all. You see, through all that vision in which we are going to experience, sometimes you may not want to read Revelation because you say, oh, I don't want to experience that. Christ is with you. That's why the first three chapters talk about his presence with you. We can get into all the debates about pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, amillennial. The truth is, God is with you through it all. Some of you can tell me you've already had your tribulation. You're in tribulation. God is with you through it. That's the message of the first three chapters. But go to the end. The end of the end. What's the end of the end say? If you want to turn to Revelation 21:1, here's the end of the end. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Down to verse 4. Read what's between then this afternoon. That's exciting as well. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he, Christ, said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You see, I want those people of Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church to know this is going to happen. Write this down. He said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. It's coming. Are you ready? Are we ready for what's to come? Oh, you may say to me, Ken, I don't know about this education. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of my career. Optimists amongst us say, hey, it's going to be fine. Pessimists say, I'm concerned. Through all the things that you have to face in your life, yes, Christ is with you, but there's something else big coming, something else monumental coming, something earth-shattering coming, and you can be ready for it. Let's pray together. Lord God in heaven, you're in heaven and we're still here on this old earth. We still have struggles in education, in our jobs, in our health, in our relationships. We still have changes that are coming that we don't want, that we even sense coming at times and we want to avoid. Lord, you're with us through it all. But after all this, you're coming back and you are going to take us to be where you are. Lord, hear our prayers.